The news update for June the 18th, 2022 on this Saturday early morning edition. Let's get with the Alex Jones show and finish up with that. And then we'll go to the war room, then back to the Alex Jones show. Keep right here uncensored for you. The Freedom Network. You can find our podcast on any podcast and catching app. Simply just by typing top headlines, national and international news stories. Hey, if you'd like to help us out, please send us a donation by simply calling us at area code 252-833-9067 for your convenience. And also, it's a win-win. Win-win for the IRS. You take off on your taxes what you gave. And also win-win for us because it helps us to get the $1,600 that we need. $800 for the month of May and $800 for the month of June. We lost two sponsors. So if you could help us out, that'd be great. Just simply call 252-833-9067. And, of course, we'll get with you. I'm Michael DeSilvis from the Freedom Network. Let's get back to the Alex Jones Show. Your support is vital in our freedom. Please don't disregard or think this is just a hoax. This is all true. We've been talking about this for 3 months. Actually, we've been talking about this every month, but nobody's given any money. So hopefully people will clue in and wake up to the fact that we are going to go dark if we don't get money from you. So I hope some of you all will take hands to that, okay? And we're going to get this going here, and we'll get this Alex Jones going. Sorry about it. We're going to take care of that problem, or the infestation problem we're having right now with that noise. We're going to take care of that noise here in a little bit. Okay, so just stay tuned. And here we go. Here's the Alex Jones Show.
Another Republican billionaire who supports white supremacy and authoritarianism because he doesn't want his workers to unionize or to pay his fair share in taxes. Oh, and there it is. Here come the tropes against Elon Musk. The GOP just tried to end democracy, and now he's supporting them. The GOP tried to end democracy. The Democrats are the ones that cheat all day. We all know that. They don't even want you to have voter ID. Why do you think that is? They have illegal immigrants coming here and voting for them. Why do you think that is? They don't want an audit of the 2020 election. Why do you think that is? Should I go on? Jamal Bowman, what an absolute scum human. They're mad at Elon Musk because they can't control him. That's what it really comes down to. They want to control the billionaire class, like the Bill Gates and the Jeff Bezoses of the world. And when they can't control Elon Musk, that makes them mad. Democrats like to control your life. They like to control you. And if they can't, they get mad. By the way, guys, see if you can find this. I'm sorry, I meant to print it. Elon Musk was talking about this the other day. There's all of these government incentive programs to get people to buy electric vehicles. And so you can go out. In fact, it's such a crime, actually, what Obama did. If you go out and buy a car, you have to pay a gas guzzler tax. I think it's like $5,000 or something. Obama put that tax on the books. You buy a combustion engine, you're paying a tax for it. It's called the gas guzzler tax. Total criminal activity. Thanks, Barack. But they also did an incentive where they give you like 1,000 or 2,000 or 5,000 cash back if you buy an electric vehicle. But here's the thing. They didn't give that to Tesla. All the other motor companies got that advantage, that cash back incentive to buy an electric vehicle, except Tesla. Why is that, I wonder? They really don't like Elon Musk, which just makes me like him all the more. FAA requires SpaceX to make environmental adjustments to move forward with its Starship program in Texas. Yeah, government getting in Elon Musk's way again. Government always getting in your way, always wanting to run your life and control you. I'm sick of government, quite personally. Democrats love government because it's a tool of control. It's a source of power for them and their lust for control and power in your life. Here's a perplexing one. Murder suicides by pilots are vexing airlines as deaths mount. And this is really in the aftermath of a story in China. And it's funny because I remember seeing this and thinking it had to be intentional. And they said it was a mistake, but then they admitted, no, it was a murder-suicide. where you have these airline pilots literally nosediving into the ocean and into the mountains, and it's like, what? So this is just a perplexing one here, folks. Murder suicides by pilots vexing airlines as deaths mount. Now, I know what some of you are probably thinking. I don't know, maybe it is a vaccine thing, but I don't necessarily see that here for sure. That's a new one. That's interesting. Fortunes of crypto billionaires are melting with Bitcoin crash. Everything's crashing in the Biden economy. And, of course, all those people that told you to invest in Bitcoin, it's the be-all, end-all. It'll solve every problem on the planet. And then you lost your money, and they made a lot of money with corporate crypto sponsorships, so they didn't mind. But you lost all your money. They didn't tell you there was a risk involved. But, yeah, it's just everything's collapsing under Biden. Here's an interesting one. Obama to install 2,500-gallon commercial-grade propane tank for Martha's Vineyard estate. So Obama, who says that sea levels are going to kill us all, and then buys multiple beachfront mansions, is he preparing for an apocalypse? 2,500-gallon propane tank for Obama? What is he preparing for? The apocalypse? That is a pretty, pretty odd one right there. Savage monster accused of decapitating pregnant ex-girlfriend and throwing head in a dumpster. Oh, yeah. Wow. Wow, must be some of that mighty white supremacy. No, exact opposite, actually. So you're not going to hear about a white girl being decapitated and head in a dumpster from a non-white supremacist. Wild brawl breaks out at DC half-smoke restaurant. No arrests made. You should have seen the video. It's crazy. But no arrests made because it's culture. See, it's their culture, they say. Amazing stuff, isn't it? Your calls, other side. That's just Susan's.
Waging war on corruption. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
All right, I apologize to callers on the line. We're going to have to preempt your calls here. And so I just want to explain this to the callers on the line. We're going to be joined by Alex Jones any minute now. And then in the next segment, Pete Santilli as well with Alex. So I apologize to callers on the line, but Alex is going to be joining us here any moment now. So I'm not going to be able to take calls. So instead, I'll just do a news coverage here until we are joined by Alex. This is a story that is not getting much coverage in the media, but you need to understand something about it because I think it's going to come back to the front pretty soon. That's the lower food and fuel costs bill, which was proposed more than a month ago by Biden and the Democrats, and I think it's starting to get new life again. U.S. Rep. Angie Craig applauds Lower Food and Fuel Costs Act as it's about to get to the floor to a vote. Now, here's what you need to understand about this. They want to lower the fuel costs is really what they're trying to do here by putting more ethanol out there, which is using corn in fuel. Folks, this is not going to lower the price of gasoline.
It's going to higher. It's going to
raise. And it's going to raise the price of food.
And it's going to ruin your...
What do you think happens when you're no longer using that corn for food? Not just for people to eat, but for livestock to eat. So the Lower Food and Fuel Cost Act is going to not lower the price of gas, and it's going to increase the price of food. Our leaders are clowns. Our leaders are clowns.
I really don't know why they're clowns.
Oh, it's so frustrating. It is so frustrating.
Clown world.
Los Angeles soft on crime district attorney George Gascon blamed for the death of two police officers this week. Yeah, another criminal that Gascon lets out of jail goes out and commits another murder. It's typical in Democrat cities. They release the criminals from jail. Oh, but then they tell you about January 6th, and they tell you about people that need to be in jail for the rest of their lives and never committed a crime, never hurt a fly. But, oh, actual hardened murderers and rapists. See, Democrats, I challenge Democrats to try to destroy Mars like they've destroyed America. That's a challenge for them. That would be an interesting challenge. Let's see Democrats try to destroy Mars. But so they want to remove Clarence Thomas from the bench because they don't like his politics. They don't like his wife. He's the only black justice on there right now. So, wow, I guess that would mean Democrats are racist. But we all knew that. Here's more proof. This is a Democrat professor at Cal State. Attention, white people. This is Professor Malina Abdullah, Cal State. Attention white people, please do not ask if you can come to the cookout. Juneteenth is Freedom Day for black folks. It should be Reparation Day for white folks. Ah, spoken like a true hardcore bigot. She must be a liberal Democrat, and she is. She's also a professor. Now, I'd love to see the logic of individuals who have never been slaves getting paid by individuals who have never owned slaves for slavery. That's called liberal logic. Might also be called a mental disorder, because it is. But it's even more absurd than that. Because they'll say, oh, what about your ancestors? Okay, so you're going to have people whose ancestors that have never been slaved being paid off by people whose ancestors who have never had slaves. So as you see, the logic still plays out. It's still the same logic. Because when logic can be applied universally, it's logic. When logic cannot be applied universally, it's propaganda. That's why liberal logic is so frustrating. Because it's not logic. It's propaganda. And here's some more of it. This is hilarious. Opinion, it's about damn time we got a celebrity apology like Lizzo. So Lizzo writes a song about how she likes to fight and shoot people and chop men's penises off. Not even kidding you. She writes a song about how she likes to fight people and chop men's penises off. But there's a lyric in her song, Girls, that's all about chopping men's penises off and fighting in the club. But there's a lyric in there. It goes, do you see this? Beep. I'm a spaz. I'm about to knock somebody out. She the only one. Here, let me just read some of these lyrics here for you. I'm a spaz. I'm about to knock somebody out. We throwin' them bows. Let's F it up. That's the type of fight I'm looking for. Let me take these earrings off and hit the boozy ratchet with my friends. I'm going to go Lorena Bobbitt on him so he can never beep again. Now you can't beep again. And it goes on, the same stuff in the song. Now, of all those lyrics, which one do you think was offensive? And which one do you think Lizzo was apologizing for? The part where she talks about chopping men's penises off or fighting in the club, promoting the violence? No, it was spaz. Spaz, because apparently spaz is ableist. I'm not even kidding you. Lizzo apologizes for ableist lyrics using the word spaz because there's some disorder called spastic something. And so she used spaz and she apologized because someone sent her a message saying, I have spastic disorder. I'm offended. But not at her chopping off men's penises or fighting in the club or all of her other disgusting smut that she puts out. It was the word spaz that did it. Ah, liberals. Put them in the mental institutions and watch everything else work itself out. Lots of big breaking developing news. You're not going to find it covered anywhere else like right here on the Alex Jones Show. And Alex Jones joins us on the phone now. I'm not even sure what Alex is breaking right now. He's about to be joined by Pete Santilli as well. So, Alex, I'm waiting here on the edge of my seat to know what the big news is.
Well, I was told about this from some of the inside sources for some of the more well-known defendants that have been charged with the seditious conspiracy situation, and they knew that the committee was swearing people in, acting like it was a real hearing under law, which it is. And then when they were having witnesses in the room to listen to other witnesses, and when they'd already pre-coached them, that is completely illegal. That's how you rig a trial. Anyone, even if they were an axe murderer, would have to be released from jail and charges dropped whenever things like this happen. This is just 101 that you do not do this. And it's the same thing the Democrats do in civil cases and criminal cases all over the United States. They're doing it in Canada as well. They have weaponized the judiciary. So I was told about this on Monday and Tuesday because they were clearly just violating the law out in front of the whole world, not just tainting the jury pool, but saying people were convicted, airing edited tapes, falsified evidence of violating the rule of completeness, where if you show a clip, you've got to show it in context or show basically the whole clip or most of the clip. So if it's a two-hour show, you got to show 15 minutes of it. If it's a five-minute clip, you got to show 4 minutes of it. You got to show at least the majority of it instead of edited tapes, similar to what Schiff already did three times in the committee, editing emails to say completely false things about Trump and others. And so we have CNN pieces saying I'm guilty, CNN pieces saying that I basically commanded the attack on the Capitol. We've got that piece coming up next segment. And so whether Joe Biggs is guilty or not, whether Stuart Rhodes is guilty or not, I don't believe they're guilty of seditious conspiracy that they go in the Capitol. Would a Democrat maybe get a trip to jail and out in 2 hours for that? Yeah. So maybe jail for 2 hours and then out in 2 hours, you know, if it's a equally applied justice system, certainly not seditious conspiracy. And they certainly weren't being commanded by me or Trump or anybody else. That's why I was there trying to stop people going to the Capitol in the same CNN piece that they did covering the hearings and how I'm a dangerous extremist. They said that I was there encouraging people to go into the Capitol, and they show footage without audio of me saying, don't go in the Capitol. It'll be a new Kent State. You'll get shot. You'll get killed. So these people are absolute criminals. The committee, Liz Cheney, all of them are working in concert with a controlled corporate press. And so the big announcement that Pete has here, and I was told this 2 days ago, talked to some folks last night, confirmed it, but he talked to the same people, I'll leave it at that, that are very close to the case. And those filings are happening within hours to say you have to let all of these people that you showed in the committee with edited tapes, because you had witnesses in the same room that are going to be called in the criminal case, and you had witnesses in there listening to the other witnesses, because you've done this on purpose to put out your fake narrative to taint the whole world's mind, everybody has to be released now. And again, better that 100 guilty men go free than one innocent man go to jail. Well, these people are innocent of what they've claimed. It's a total fraud, and we are truly in a banana republic, rigged kangaroo court, show trial system, and this is the case. And the same thing's happening with my Sandy Hook cases that are designed to get rid of the First Amendment. Democrats have bragged about this on national television and said now that we're going to be able to shut Alex Jones down, they think we'll be able to basically shut everybody else down. So that's the precedent. Defaulting me, saying we didn't give them all the stuff they asked for, which is a lie, then saying they're going to have a jury trial on how guilty I am, but that we're not supposed to be able to even talk at these upcoming show trials that begin in late July. And I'm not putting myself in the middle of the story. I'm explaining this is part of a concerted effort, the suits against Trump, the criminal investigations against Trump, all the things that are being done against the rest of the independent media, all the different lawsuits being filed against independent media is an attempt to shut everybody down. And so we are all having our rights taken right now. This is a blueprint for all of America. As Tucker Carlson said just on Monday of this week, he said this is a blueprint to criminalize the political opposition to the Democratic Party in America, because the Democratic Party has lost. Everybody hates them. There's a political realignment against them. So this is their last desperate gamble. But they even had to cancel one of the day's hearings because the ratings are so low and no one's buying it, and people are getting very angry at him. So Pete Santilli has got the specifics here. This is exclusive, coming down today. Multiple defendants, multiple group filings demanding that they be released because the entire system of due process has been violated in royal flush spades. Pete Santilli.
Thank you, Alex. That's right. It is. This is exclusive. I've gotten word now. It's imminent. Within hours, there will be a filing on behalf of all of the January 6th defendants. I'm sure all of them will join in, but a group is going to be doing a filing en masse. And let me just tell you how egregious these violations are. And they're basic fundamental constitutional violations. If you go read the Sixth Amendment, due process violations, you're supposed to have an adequate defense. Representation by your attorney. But let me tell you what's happened here. I believe that that Liz Halliburton Cheney is so psychotically zealous towards getting President Trump that she essentially destroyed any possibility of a fair trial. Now, let me tell you that there's legal precedence here. Ollie North, I think it was back in 1991, was convicted. And the way he was convicted was after he was forced to give testimony in the Iran-Contra committee hearings. He asserted his Fifth Amendment, right? They compelled him to give testimony. And then by doing so, they brought him to trial. Although they offered him immunity, they withheld that, brought him to trial, and he was convicted. As a result of that conviction, they appealed it. And on appeal, almost identical to the circumstances here at the January 6th hearings, is that basically the jury pool was tainted. Another thing, Alex Jones, he's not a defendant, but I'll give you an example of how the jury pool was tainted. This Marcus Childress, he's an officer of the court, an attorney. He doctored evidence and lined up a video, creating a certain impression that essentially is irreversible. What they say is you cannot unring a bell. So this bell has been rung in two hearings. I mentioned this to Owen the other day, that there are blessings in disguise here. A, they're getting caught doctoring evidence, giving just a horrifying testimony without any cross-examination or challenging of anything that they're presenting. This is so egregious that I'm gonna make the call right now. There is a strong possibility that the defendants that are locked up in the gulag could literally walk, not just walk out the door, but also have all of their charges dropped, a mistrial before the trial even begins.
And Pete, let me just add this. Anywhere else in America, in Michigan, where the jury said, no, these people are not guilty in the fake Whitmer kidnapping false flag event, you're absolutely right. Or in Texas, or even in a place like New York, or Florida, or even California. But D.C. has such rigged courts and such rigged systems on record. You know, we just saw that with the Sussman verdict, where he's caught red-handed, nothing happens because he works for Hillary. These judges may just go ahead and say, no, we don't care, they can do anything, and that sets the precedent. So how does that, what's the process there? I guess that's appealed to a higher court, because as you said, these are cut and dry, basic 101 rules of the game, and they're able to do this is just incredible. That's question A. Question B, Pete, and also Owen, why do you think they're so reckless? Why are they so wild-eyed? Why are they doctoring evidence in front of everybody? Why are they doing this when they fundamentally know it's against the law?
Well, I'll go first. I'll make it quick, Pete. They're psychotic, Alex. They're psychotic, and I don't think there's anybody that has committed to understand the psychology of liberals right now in media. I pick a lot of it up from the great Rush Limbaugh and Michael Savage, who's kind of past his prime as well. No disrespect. They're psychotic. They have a mental disorder, and everything, the liberal agenda, trumps everything else in their mind. You have to understand this. In everything they do, the liberal propaganda, the liberal agenda trumps everything else. So when you see them acting like this, understand they're number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, number six, number seven, number eight, number all their top 100 priorities are all whatever the liberal agenda is. So they're acting like psychos because of it. Pete?
Yeah, and that's why I said psychotic zeal. Liz Halliburton-Cheney, there's a couple of elements here. They have a window of opportunity. The DOJ will not prosecute if you get too close to the November elections. So they were pressed for time. There was this mad rush to bring the Soviet show trial. But they're so zealous about going after President Trump that they even if they wanted to prosecute President Trump, here's the case, United States of America versus Ollie North as the appellant. The circumstances are almost identical because of his testimony to a congressional hearing. He tainted the jury. It's essentially
a mystery. Supreme Court, Pete, didn't that finally go to the Supreme Court?
That was an appeals court in the District of Columbia. So no judge is going to override, you know, well-settled law already ruled upon by an appeals court. Their career would be destroyed at that point, no matter how corrupt they are.
Well, that's right. From day one, we pointed out that they had these show trials. It would do the same thing that happened in the Oliver North case. So the question is, why would they do this? Because they only care about the optics and demonizing their political opposition as terrorists. I think you both agree. Everybody agrees. Some people walk down the street and say, man, these hearings.
Jake was in big trouble.
Paul Joseph Watson's about to take over. Pete Santilli and I are going to finish with some final comments here. But here's what I'm going to say again. Joe Biggs and all those people are political prisoners. They've had their due process violated. They've been holding people for years in solitary confinement. They have absolutely railroaded them. And if they can do this, they can railroad America. And now with this, these evil, unconstitutional, constitution-raping hearings, These are all Americans' rights that are being trashed and being burned up in front of us if we don't reverse this. So we need to get angry, we need to get upset, and we need to not just have talk radio and what's left of conservative media that hasn't been censored into oblivion to not just say, we know January 6th, you know, is hype. We don't want to hear about it. And realize this is the whole Democrat play. It's their whole operation to label us all domestic terrorists. And it is a central issue to distract from the devaluation of the currency, the inflation, the tyranny, the collapsing borders, the human smuggling, just all the crimes they're committing. And so that's why this is so incredibly important. And I'm really glad that Pete Santilli, who's a former political prisoner himself, who they had to release, it was proven that they were framing him, has been so, you know, on the ball fighting this, and as well as the rest of the crew. So I want to thank the listeners for their support and their prayers, because InfoWars is right in the crosshairs. Owen has been falsely charged, obviously, with all this crazy stuff. And it just shows you how serious and how real this is. Sam Montoya, our great employee that just shot footage like any other journalist, they're trying to put him in prison. And so this is a very, very important time. Understand, we need your prayers. We need your support here at InfoWars, because we're under attack at every level, because we're the people fighting for you. We're the people fighting for our own future together. And we just need your support at InfoWarsStore.com more than ever, because it takes money to fight George Soros, the Democratic Party. But we're winning hearts and minds. We're winning spiritually. We're winning culturally. And the enemy knows it, so throwing everything they've got at us. So I'm going to hand the baton back over to Pete Santilli and Owen Schroyer. Then again, Paul Joseph Watson is coming up. I run into so many great people while I've been traveling on business. And I just want to salute everybody that's waking up and tell them to wake up others and just keep spreading the word. The chain reaction is happening. Victory's happening. But we've got to defend our political prisoners, ladies and gentlemen, or we will all suffer their same fate. God bless. I hand the baton over to Owen Schroyer and Pete Santilli.
That's right, Alex. Thank you. Pete, we've got just over 2 minutes left here. Why don't you give us some final departing words?
You know, Owen, I'll mention you. You don't even need to respond back to it, but this is what I'll say. Not only have they falsely charged you, but they've selectively charged you and targeted you, because there were other journalists that went into the Capitol and done things even far worse than anything you were found to have done. So selective and malicious prosecution. I'm also going to say this, that because of this appeal and what's about to be filed here imminently by the attorneys, in mass, there's all of the January 6th defendants are going to pile onto this thing and join in. It's already been ruled by an appellate court, almost identical in the Ollie North case, that not only have they made egregious errors, Owen, I'm going to throw back to you to also give you final word here and commentary. I believe that it was a fatal error by Liz Halliburton Cheney. She has totally and completely, and I think that's the reason, it wasn't a tactical reason that they called the next hearing off. I think they were advised by counsel, you just destroyed all possibilities of prosecuting any one of these January 6th defendants. I'd say that there's a 99.99% chance they're going to walk, all of them.
Well, and let me kind of just ask you the question that you've kind of already answered, but maybe just give it a new framing. You know, Liz Cheney jumped the shark here, maybe bit off more than she could chew. Or is this kind of a probing thing of the deep state to see what they can get away with?
I would say no. I would say that I felt a sense of ultra urgency for political reasons, because the DOJ, once you get close enough to the November elections, they won't prosecute anything. So any criminal referrals or anything that they're doing. So they had a short window of opportunity. I heard that they hired 600 attorneys a couple of months ago because they wanted to do the remaining filings by the end of May. Well, they've far surpassed that. Now they're into the hearings. Once you get close to the November election, the DOJ will not prosecute because it's political. So she was rushed to judgment here. And she wanted to put herself to be judge, jury, and executioner, of course.
Pete Santilli, thank you so much. The Pete Santilli Show. Paul Joseph Watson takes over the Alex Jones Show now.
Prepare. New studios in the United Kingdom. You are listening to Paul Joseph Watson.
It is Thursday. It is the 16th of June. It is 2022, and we are live. We've got a ton of news to cover over the course of the next hour, including, and once again, we ask the question, is diversity a strength, especially as it applies to Europe, given the acceleration of migration that is taking place from the Middle East, from North Africa,
two European countries and what impact that is having, at least in the short term, not even to mention the long term, on culture, on society. Now, I mention that because obviously later we're going to get into what is happening here in the UK with hundreds upon hundreds of boat migrants arriving from the war-torn country of France. Apparently, France is no longer a safe country. No, they have to come here because the government rewards them with, well, for a start, a free taxi service when they get near the shore, and free hotel accommodation, as well as free cash, free food, all generous little benefits that these economic migrants, the vast majority of them young fighting age men, do not get in the quote war-torn country of France. What impact is that having on European countries? Well, I come on this show basically every week and say there's a massive, buried, ignored story that should be global news right now, which is only news in its host country. And this week it's Italy, because we had, of course, the Cologne mass molestation back on New Year's Eve 2015, which did make the news, where huge gangs of North African migrants, primarily from Algeria, conducted attacks, sexual assaults, molestations, and physical full-on rapes of German women outside the Cologne train station during the New Year's Eve celebrations in 2015. Now, of course, very few people got prosecuted for that, but it did start a national conversation over the sanctity, over the benefits of importing a million migrants, which, of course, Germany did from 2015 onwards. Merkel claimed it was a huge success. What's happened in Germany since tends to argue in the opposite direction. But again, a huge ignored story, this time out of Italy. And Remix News has done a full breakdown of this, rmx.news. Italian Parliament opens investigation after hundreds of migrants blamed for unleashing hell at lakeside towns with rioting and sexual assaults. This should be one of the top stories in the world. It happened about a week ago. It's barely made a ripple. Now, it's interesting that this happened around Lake Garda and in the villages and towns in between that circle Lake Garda, given that, of course, that's where George Clooney, the actor, owns one of his many multi-million dollar mansions. Now, of course, back in, I think it was 2015, 2016, Clooney said that he would be open to inviting a refugee to stay in his own home. And to be fair to him, unlike others, people like J.K. Rowling, he actually did that. He followed through on it. Of course, the migrant refugee that he invited turned out to be a well-educated doctor. We're not being deluged with doctors and lawyers. Let's just say that based on the raw statistics alone. But again, that signaled Clooney's virtue that he wanted these migrants, these refugees, to be brought into Europe. And now they've run riot near Lake Garda, around the very same area that he owns one of his multiple mansions. Last week saw widespread chaos break out in parties in Italian lakeside towns near Lake Garda, involving up to 2,000 migrants, deluged these small towns and villages. The Italian Public Prosecutor's Office and the Italian Parliament have opened a number of investigations, which will probably go nowhere, because they always do, including one case where 30 migrant men allegedly sexually assaulted 16 girls on a train from Lake Garda to Milan. These migrant youths poured into these villages. This was obviously predetermined, prearranged attack. They smashed shop windows. They assaulted people on the street. They stole people's belongings, and they sexually harassed young girls, in some cases, children. And what did they say while they were doing this? Well, in the act of carrying out this absolute carnage, they were waving the flags of African countries. And they were openly saying, we're here to invade. No white people are allowed here. In fact, I'm going to get onto the exact quotes in a second. But again, this was under the guise of a street party. The majority of these migrants, the vast majority, were North African. It's the same demographic that we see over and over again. Some were sub-Saharan African from the videos that I've seen. They destroyed everything, said a business owner speaking with Corriere della Sera, one of Italy's biggest newspapers. They broke shop windows, stormed the tourist train, and blocked passers-by on foot or by moped. Riot police arrived. Imagine this, a peaceful tourist lakeside village, and riot police have to show up to deal with this. Is that a strength? Is that really something that we should be encouraging in our European villages, in holiday tourist resorts? When riot police attempted to intervene, the group of teens began throwing stones. I don't know if they were first or second generation immigrants, said Orietta Galli, the mayor of Peschiera. They're just a race of criminals who have left a deep wound in my community. We lived a day of war. It was absolute bedlam. And again, no global mainstream media coverage whatsoever. One video shows the group attacking a motorcyclist, causing a traffic jam. Another video shows them trying to tear away another passenger's purse. Another Twitter user who posted a video of the incident wrote, quote, thousands of immigrants unleash hell in Peschiera del Garda. Vandalism, fights, clashes with police, stabbings, families robbed, tourists terrified and forced to flee. The process of integrating migrants in Italy has clearly failed. Remember, a couple of weeks ago, we had the Swedish Prime Minister, left-wing Swedish feminist Prime Minister, come out and admit that their attempts to integrate, to absorb such huge numbers of migrants in that Scandinavian country have, again, completely failed. We have the top left-wing Belgian political leader come out a few weeks before that and say he was driving through Molenbeek, which is a suburb of Brussels in Belgium, and he felt that it no longer resembled Belgium at all. These no-go zones, these ghettos are getting worse and worse and worse because more of the same demographic is pouring in. The sexual assaults continue to happen. The mass robbings continue to happen, as we saw before the Champions League final in Paris last month. The only difference is, back in 2015, 16, 17, these were major stories. These were the centerpiece of massive conversations about whether indeed diversity is a strength, whether this rate of accelerated migration is happening too quickly. Now, you don't even hear about it. The Champions League final thing was one of the biggest stories of the year. I follow this. I didn't even know it had happened until almost a week afterwards. Same thing with this series of incidents in Italy. Days later, I find out about it through what to the average normie would be relatively obscure websites which track this kind of thing and which get translated reports out of countries like Italy. So again, it's under investigation. Just like the Champions League riot, chaos is under investigation, which, again, the process is the cover-up. The investigation is the cover-up, and we're going to get into that in the next segment. But again, sexually assaulted girls, it's the same demographic that mass molested women in Cologne, Germany back in 2015. Italy is dealing with this. They recently released to criminal statistics, which found that migrants, despite, again, making up a small portion of their population, account for nearly half of rapes in Italy, and we continue to import the same culture in different European countries with devastating impacts, not just in terms of crime and sexual assaults, but as with the Manchester Arena bombing carried out by a refugee rescued by our own government, deathly terrorist jihadist attacks. We're going to come back, get more into this, get into what's happening with the boat migrant crisis in England. This is the Summit News Hour, summit.news. We'll be back.
Live from the summit.news headquarters, it's Paul Joseph Watson.
So 2,000 migrant men from North African countries, or at least African, North African migrant background, invaded this small village and a series of villages and towns around Lake Garda in Italy, a tourist area. These incidents were pre-arranged and they were convened as Remix News reports under the slogan African in Peschiera. They were waving Moroccan flags, the flags of other African countries. Breitbart reports on the comments of some of these individuals, which again were mostly young men aged between 16 and 20, attacking people, sexually assaulting women, throwing objects at the police, smashing into shop windows, stealing people's belongings. And what did they say while they were carrying out this carnage? Quote, "We came here to reconquer Peshiera. This is our territory. Africa must come here." Now, at least for an hour or two of absolute bedlam, Africa did come to Peshiera around Lake Garda in Italy. And I think we can conclude from what happened that Africa coming to Europe is certainly not a good development, and it certainly goes some way to disprove the mantra that diversity is a strength. Now, why this is even more concerning, because a survey came out a few days ago, headline, "Survey, more than half of young people want to leave Africa." Oh, great. And where do they want to come? They want to come to Europe. A new survey of 15 African countries has found that more than half of young people want to leave the continent in the coming years, with the majority of those who emigrate expected to head to Europe. And again, you have to put in the proviso, hashtag not all Africans. If I came from some s-hole country in Africa, I'd be the same as them. I'd want to go to Europe. And yes, obviously, the vast majority of them are not going to rape women. They're not going to commit crimes. But a significant enough portion of them do. And if you invite millions and millions of Africans into Europe, Europe is going to become more like Africa, which is not a good thing, because why are they leaving Africa in the first place? Now, we had this story, and I'm going to get to the video about the Champions League final, because again, more updates on that cover up in full swing. But again, this is another story that got zero attention. It was in Swedish media for a day, then it was forgotten. Father of Swedish child Islamic terror victim says her Stockholm grave has been desecrated over 100 times. This is the father of Ebba Ackerlund, the 11-year-old Swedish girl who was torn limb from limb on the streets of Stockholm by an Islamic terrorist, an illegal migrant, oh, and by the way, a refugee, a rejected asylum seeker from Uzbekistan, back in 2017. The attack killed 5 people. It seriously injured 14 others. It's probably a miracle that it didn't kill more than that. Obviously, that event on a standalone basis is horrific enough. Of course, in the broader context of what happened over the course of those years, it's kind of tailed off a little bit, thankfully, because Trump kicked ISIS's ass. And these attacks stopped happening to some extent. They're still attempting them. We've been lucky over the past couple of years. Several of them have been stopped. Unlike the Manchester bombing, which wasn't stopped because the police and security guards feared being called racist, even though they saw a young Muslim fiddling with a huge backpack right before he blew himself up and killed 23 people, a lot of them children. But again, I guess not being called racist is kind of more important than saving the lives of children from being blown up and dismembered limb from limb, isn't it? So this 11-year-old Swedish girl killed by a terrorist. That's not enough, apparently. She's buried in Stockholm, which again is absorbing huge numbers of these Islamic migrants. And her grave in Stockholm has been desecrated 100 times, at least. And they won't even install CCTV to try and catch the perpetrators. They caught one of them back in 2018. And guess what? He turned out to be an illegal migrant, a refugee. Imagine my shock. So it's not enough to kill an 11-year-old girl by ramming a truck into her, tearing her limb from limb. Any of you who've seen the pictures will know the scale of this horror. No, they have to literally desecrate her grave in Stockholm. For what message to send, I don't know. I mean, the mind boggles at this point. But again, he's out in the media desperately complaining. This bereaved father who visits his lost daughter's grave every day at 10 a.m. to say good morning, every evening at 6 p.m. to say good night. He's going back there, the little trinkets he's left, the flowers in honor of his slain daughter, have been stolen, have been ripped up, have been smashed, desecrated. This is happening in a European capital city. And again, it was in the news for a day in Sweden. Nobody knows about it. And all those protesters are out on the streets once again. They're down in Dover with their little placards, refugees welcome, not even considering for a second the absolute carnage and horror that this policy has visited on Europe. Putin plans to weaponize refugees to generate instability in Europe. But wait, I thought refugees welcome, diversity is a strength. Why would he be weaponizing refugees to cause instability in Europe unless mass waves of unintegrated migrants cause instability in the host countries that they come to? And again, this we had a story last week. President Erdogan out of Turkey has been doing exactly the same thing. He threatens Greece over and over again. If you try and block this sale of fighter jets from America to Turkey, I will unleash another wave of refugees to culturally enrich your country. If it's such a good thing, and if there are no overwhelmingly negative consequences of absorbing all these refugees, why are world leaders threatening to use them as weapons against countries they don't like? Interesting that, isn't it? Switzerland, illegal immigrant attacks massive church organ recently restored for €530,000 in a Swiss city. Syrian migrant blames rape of 8-year-old stepdaughter on alcohol, claims she's older than that in her head. Nice. And then off the backdrop of all this, we have a border policy situation in the United Kingdom, which I'm going to get into in the next segment, where the government said, don't worry, we've got a solution. As we literally roll out the red carpet and invite all these migrants in from the war-torn country of France, which apparently is too intolerable for them to stay there, rescue them in Royal Navy boats, rescue them in charity boats, put them up in 30,000 hotel rooms at a cost of £5 million a day to the taxpayer, hundreds and hundreds coming in every day, 50,000 have come in so far since 2018, maybe 100,000 more are going to come in this year. Their solution to that is to send them to Rwanda. These left-wing groups, the European Court of Human Rights, and activist judges in the United Kingdom say, no, you're not doing that. This is the same government that locked us down overnight with no legal hurdles, but apparently they can't deport a single illegal immigrant without the entire farce of a policy collapsing. And I've got a couple of videos on that, which I'm going to get into in the next segment, and then we're going to contrast it with what is happening as these illegals are given royal treatment to British citizens who post offensive memes in private chat groups. You're not going to believe this. We'll be back. Summit.news. Don't go away.
Dinesh D'Souza's new film, 2000 Mules, is the most important documentary in modern times because it proves how the deep state...
United Kingdom, it's Paul Joseph Watson.
Well, I've been rambling on for 2 segments now, and if I don't get to these videos, I'll never get to them. We'll come back and we'll talk about the ramifications of this. But first, let's go to this video, which focuses on the UK angle, the absolute shambles of UK borders. This video is called An Absolute Farce. Let's roll it. Here it is. The British government's NAF attempt to deal with uncontrolled immigration has been an absolute shambles. You mean the same government that literally provides a taxi service for illegal boat migrants, incentivizing them to come here from France and rewarding criminal people smugglers before putting them up in hotels at taxpayer expense, is completely useless when it comes to trying to deport them? Wow, who could have foreseen that? Thanks to mobs of protesters and activist judges, the first flight of illegal migrants being deported to Rwanda was whittled down to just a handful. Then, thanks to an intervention by the European Court of Human Rights, the plane didn't take off at all. The European Court of Human Rights? But I thought we'd voted to leave the European Union. Doesn't matter, we're still taking orders from them. It's an absolute farce. This is the same Tory government that locked down the entire population of the country overnight with no legal hurdles whatsoever. Yet when it comes to deporting a single migrant, they're rendered completely impotent. Where were all those activist judges in March 2020 when Brits were placed under de facto house arrest? They're more interested in protecting the rights of illegal migrants who broke the law to get here than the rights of actual British citizens. Case in point, while economic migrants fleeing the war-torn country of France are treated like royalty because of activist judges. British citizens are being thrown in prison for sharing edgy memes. No, this is not a Babylon Bee story. A man was actually given 20 weeks in prison by a judge for posting offensive George Floyd memes in private chat groups. Absolute, unmitigated, weapons-grade clown world. Priti Patel says critics have no alternative proposals to deal with uncontrolled immigration. Here's a proposal. Stop rolling out the red carpet for them in the first place. Italy's Matteo Salvini halved the number of migrant deaths at sea by vowing to turn the boats back. It saves migrant lives, and it saves the lives of Westerners, lest we forget. The Manchester Arena bomber was literally rescued as a refugee by our Royal Navy. And despite numerous police officers and security guards witnessing his overtly suspicious behavior, they refused to stop him for fear of being called racist. Shortly after, he blew himself up, killing 23 and injuring over 1,000 people, many of them children. Now our pathetic government is being bullied into submission by far-left protesters, the EU, and activists judges for fear of being called racist. Having handed Rwanda 120 million quid up front as part of this genius plan, nearly 1,000 boat migrants have arrived in Britain since Sunday alone, while they failed to deport a single migrant to Rwanda. Again, almost all of them young men, economic migrants coming from France, a safe country, to the benefits haven of Great Britain. Now the migrants who were supposed to be deported to Rwanda have been set loose in the community. By the end of the year, if nothing changes, 100,000 boat migrants are expected to enter Britain. While they continue to be looked after in hotels or huge numbers of them dumped on tiny villages like Linton-on-Ouse, just grow a frigging spine and enforce the law. How hard can it be? Now, I mentioned it in that video, and I'm not surprised by much these days, but sometimes you see these stories and it is a facepalm moment. Yes, a man was arrested in the UK, a former police officer, and convicted for posting offensive George Floyd memes in private WhatsApp and Facebook group chats. Back in 2020, he committed this horrendous thought crime. He's literally going to prison for posting edgy memes in a private group chat. Again, this is in a country where the police came out, the National Police Chief Council, back in 2015 and said their resources are too stretched, there isn't enough time to deal with the crimes, and they can't attend burglaries. In 2018, it was revealed that two-thirds of burglaries in the United Kingdom aren't even investigated. But they have the resources to investigate, to prosecute, to convict, to imprison a 31-year-old man for posting funny memes on a Facebook private chat group. Absolutely incredible. And then you look further into the details. This guy, by the way, could have probably won this if he hadn't cowed and submitted at the start by apologizing and saying he was sorry. If he'd have actually got a decent lawyer, he would have won, but he didn't. Because there's another case of one of his colleagues who did the same egregious behavior of posting offensive memes, who is now on trial for the same thing. But when the judge handed down this prison sentence, he openly said he was making an example of this individual, former police officer James Watts. He said, quote, "A message must go out, and that message can only go out through an immediate sentence of imprisonment." This guy is in prison for posting a meme that made fun of George Floyd. He didn't even post it publicly on the internet. He posted it in a private chat group. Someone ratted him out to the authorities, and now he's a criminal, and that's on his record for life. This is the kicker. The guy, because he was in the prison system, because he was basically part of society, which is now everyone has to go through this social engineering, diversity training, brainwashing. While giving him the sentence, the judge, on top of that, lectured him that he should have known better because he received, quote, "training in relation to diversity and inclusion." absolutely incredible. The judge, by the way, was a migrant. That's quite funny, isn't it?
It is.
In 2017, it was reported that British police had arrested 3,395 people for offensive online comments in the space of a single year. But they can't attend burglaries. If you get robbed, you're screwed. They don't have the resources. Post a spicy meme about George Floyd, get in prison. Absolute weapons grade clown world. Meanwhile, migrants landing in Britain will refuse to board Rwanda flights, and one policy won't stop them crossing the channel. There's 677 arrive in 2 days, and two boats are brought ashore at Dover today. If you get on a boat and break the law by entering the country, and then are just set loose in the community to get up to whatever you want, and as we saw in Italy, as we saw before the Champions League final a couple of weeks ago, they really do enrich us culturally. You get treated like literal royalty, you get free hotel rooms, you get free cash, you get free food, you get free Wi-Fi, which then the migrants complain about because their iPhones don't work properly because they're so oppressed. That's all good and dandy, but if as a British citizen you post a spicy meme on Facebook private chat group, not only will you be investigated, they seized his phone, convicted, sent to prison for 20 weeks, while you're being sent down, the judge will lecture you about how you should have known better because you went through the social engineering, diversity training, brainwashing. Absolutely incredible. I'm going to come back in the next segment. I think we'll play the Champions League video because then, again, there's an update on that case and it ties into everything that I've been saying. Also get a little bit into COVID. Anthony Fauci has had four COVID-19 vaccinations, and he just has tested positive for COVID once again. This is the same guy who says he won't go to White House events because he doesn't want to risk spreading the disease or catching the disease, but then the night before the White House press events, he'll go to a private party and get in close proximity with Don Lemon and all the other people attending without wearing a face mask, and that's all good and well. We'll get into the latest on monkeypox, and if we've got time, we'll dig into the latest benefits that the much-wanted LGBT community is offering up. Summit.news, we'll be back, don't go away.
From London, England, it's Paul Joseph Watson with Summit.news.
Now, we are going to try and get through at least two of these videos because I've only played one because I've been ranting for the entire show. Let's round up on the whole migrant situation with this video. Of course, I talked about at the top of the show the mass molestation of women, the crimes that took place around Lake Garda in Italy. We also had similar scenes before the Champions League final in Paris a couple of weeks ago. But now, during the course of the investigation, we learned that the footage, which would have shown who was responsible, has been mysteriously deleted. It's gone. Here's the video. Let's roll it.
So, Rwanda, when that announcement was made, I told you there'd be a problem. I predicted that the European Court of Human Rights would get involved. Of course, no one listened. They never do. And we were given assurances by Priti Patel and Boris Johnson that all would be well. This policy would happen. They've even launched a Facebook campaign saying to people, don't come to Britain or you might end up in Rwanda. Well, here we are in Brexit Britain. We voted not to have European courts making decisions over our lives. And yet, on that runway yesterday at Boscombe Down, the last few people who were due to go to Rwanda, the previous lot, all having been taken off because of the Human Rights Act, and we had an intervention from the Strasbourg court, which means that no one left for Rwanda yesterday. Oh, by the way, 444 came in through Dover yesterday. As I speak this morning, there are loads more crossing the channel. There are going to be, over the course of the next few months, tens of thousands of young men that come across the English Channel. According to the Today programme this morning, they're all desperate people. Well, some may be. The vast majority are coming here for purely economic reasons, and many, of course, will finish up in this country in a form of modern-day slavery and a form of criminality. So what happens now? Well, as ever, Boris will bluster. Well, we'll have to look at possibly changing legislation. And in 2 weeks' time, Dominic Raab, you know the one, the guy that looks like a rabbit in the headlights. God knows how people like this are running up our country. He will introduce a British Bill of Rights and will be told it will amend the ECHR. It will amend the Human Rights Act. It will make no difference. And our newspapers, the front pages, will go on and on and on condemning lefty judges. But it's just like the same argument about EU membership. For years and years and years, politicians and press moaned about decisions taken by the European Union. It was UKIP that said, let's end this, let's leave. We left. We thought in doing so, there'd be no more foreign courts. We thought in doing so, we'd get back control of our borders. And now we find, because Boris didn't do Brexit properly, because we stayed part of the ECHR, oh, and they'll tell you, it's different to the EU. Well, believe you me, in Strasbourg, you can walk from the European Parliament